Our scripture lesson today. We're going to pick up where we left off last week, as I promised. We're going to go back to the book of James, which is a little book here in the back of the Bible in the New Testament. If you find Hebrews, go one more book to the right, and you'll be right there. The book of James, chapter 3. And we're going to start in verse 2. So James chapter 3, verse 2. If you have that place in your Bible, let me hear you say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Wonderful. Good. God's word says this, and again, I read out of an NIV translation. We all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal, or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder, wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a very small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man, but no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. This is our reading for this morning. Let's go to God in prayer. Father God, once again, how wonderful it is to gather and assemble in your house. Father, we have read and heard your word from the book of James here this morning. So, Father, we just ask that your word penetrate all of our hearts here this morning, Lord. And may it do the transforming work that it has been sent out to do. Your word says that it'll never come back to you void. So, Father, we just ask that it take residence in us here this morning. Father, once again, may I decrease and you increase. You get all the glory today, Lord. And I ask all this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. I have to stand perfectly center. If I'm too far to one side, people over here think I'm yelling at them. If I'm too far over here, people over here think I'm yelling at them. I'll just stand in the middle and yell at everybody. How does that sound? Last week, we talked about this thing right here. Our words, our speech, the words that come out of our mouth. And our words can be a witness to unbelievers. And my question was last week, what are we saying? What is coming out of this thing right here? Our words. And we speak words every day, and some are helpful, some are hurtful, and some are just somewhere in between, rather informational. Like two Saturdays ago, the Washington Redskins lost. I knew Cindy would give me that look. It's just informational, although she thinks those words are very hurtful, aren't they? Okay, I'll move on. Okay, we also talked about different people from the Bible who spoke words of different sorts. Some spoke words of disobedience, Jonah. Some spoke words of obedience, Mary. Words of disbelief, Zechariah. Words of belief. Remember who spoke words of belief last week? Who was paying attention? I guess I wasn't even paying attention because I forget who spoke the words of belief last week. Then words of condemnation, words of forgiveness, words of false witness, words of truth, words of death, words of life. The words of life, obviously, from Jesus. Many different words of different types can come out of this thing right here. And we talked about these three things that Jesus said. One, our words are the overflow of our hearts. We're going to speak what's in our hearts. Number two, what's in our heart is our treasure. So I ask, what is our treasure? And number three, that we're going to be acquitted or condemned by our words. This is what Jesus says. So in conclusion from what Jesus says, I have to conclude this. We speak who we really are. Ultimately, our real self is going to come out right here. We talked about hurtful words, helpful words, and as I promised this week, this Sunday, we're going to talk about the hurtful words. And I know you're going to say, oh, Mike, when you come in here, sometimes it feels like you're yelling at us. And you're making us feel bad. Yeah. Isn't that what God's Word is supposed to do to us sometimes? Sometimes rather convict us and try to make us straighten up and fly right, so to speak. So this morning we're going to talk about hurtful words. We're going to talk about things that we can say as Christians that not only hurt other people, but they hurt God too in the long run. So let's talk about the first type of hurtful words. Let's go to the book of Proverbs. Way back in the Old Testament, if you find Psalms, go one book to the right and go to Proverbs. And we're going to go to Proverbs chapter 15 and talk about just a couple verses there quickly. Kind of lay a foundation of some hurtful words that we can say. Proverbs 15, verse number 2. Of course, most of the Proverbs start off, it's kind of a two-sentence thing. The first part is usually good, the second part is usually not as good. Verse number 2 says this, "The tongue of the wise commends knowledge," that's the good part, "but the mouth of a fool gushes folly." Okay, let's remember that. Let's go to the same chapter, chapter 15, verse 14. And this verse also kind of says the same thing. "The discerning heart seeks knowledge, but the mouth of a fool feeds on folly." So the mouth of a fool gushes folly. The mouth of a fool feeds on folly. Well, I kind of had an idea what folly meant, but I looked it up in Webster's dictionary just to find out for sure. And folly means this, you lack good sense. You just lack good sense. Did you ever talk to somebody that you think, after you get done talking, you say, man, that person just ain't right. That person's not right. It just seems like whatever's coming out of their mouth, just it isn't making a whole lot of sense. And sometimes you might even wonder, what planet are they coming from, you know? And probably folly isn't as hurtful as the other words that we're going to talk about. But one of the reassuring things is this. If we could ever gush folly from our mouths, or if we say things that really don't make sense to other people, there is hope for people like us, folks. And that's this. It says this in Proverbs 2:6, "For the Lord gives wisdom from his mouth, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding." And also Ephesians 1:17, which says this. This is Paul praying for the people at Ephesus. He says this, "I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ may give you the spirit of wisdom." Well, let's face it. If we're wise, probably not folly good sense won't come out of our mouth. So one of the things that we probably need to be praying for is wisdom to kind of combat our lack of good sense, if that in some way, shape, or form affects you. Now, folly probably doesn't hurt us as much as the other words that I have on here. And let's go to the next one. So the first one is folly. We can just have good sense not come out of our mouth, or should I say bad sense does come out of our mouth. Let's go to the second one. Let's go back to the book of Exodus. The book of Exodus, the second book of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, and we're going to go to chapter 20. And as soon as I say Exodus chapter 20, most of you ought to say, I know what's there, I know what's there, I know what's there. Who can tell me without looking what's in Exodus chapter 20? Thank you, Greg Armantrout. You get a star. Somebody put a star on that man's forehead today. The Ten Commandments, at least the first time that they're written, are also in Deuteronomy. Okay, the Ten Commandments. And let's go to verse number 7. And this is an important verse, that one of the Ten Commandments, but I think it's one of those verses, one of those commandments that maybe we don't quite understand what it really says. But it says here, you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. You will not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Now, what I'm about to say, you may agree with or disagree, and that's okay, but I like to take this verse to the extreme. As an example, sometimes in our lives, when something might happen to us, this might pop out of our mouth. Oh my God. I'm sure we've all probably said that at one time or other. Something maybe startled you or scared you or whatever, and you say, oh my God. Let me ask, is that okay? Is that okay? I don't know. Because I don't really know the answer to that, I don't say it. Because if for me, if it's borderline, this could be something that treads on this commandment here, I kind of stay away from it. I know that there are many people that will just say that, but me personally, this is just Mike speaking here, I kind of tend to stay away from that. Another way to misuse the name of the Lord, I'm sure you all know it, and I'm not going to say it in this sanctuary, the GD word. Okay, everybody knows where I'm coming from. Okay, let me see you. Shake your head. Yes, okay, you know what I'm saying. And God, and you know what the D stands for, and that's certainly not God's last name. But people, quite often, it's just like part of their speech. It just comes out. That is something that I will certainly never say. That is just something that should not come out of a Christian's mouth at all. But there are ways that we can use God's name, and I don't know if some of those ways are really the right way of saying it. We have to be careful. And Matthew Henry, one of the famous commentators of the Bible, says this. He gives a commentary on this verse. The sinner may perhaps hold himself guiltless and think there is no harm in it, and that God will never call him to account for it. But the verse does say, God will not hold him guiltless. Now that's kind of a double negative there, and let me put it the other way. God will hold him guilty. And God himself will be the avenger of those who take his name in vain. And they will find it a very fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. Just a warning, folks. I don't know how you use the name God, but I believe we all need to be careful how we use the name God. Okay, next one. Okay, we talked about foolishness and folly. We talked about using God's name in vain. Let's go to the next way that we can have hurtful words. And again, they start getting a little more difficult here. Let's go to the New Testament, the book of Ephesians, which is stuck in there somewhere. If you find Philippians, you've gone too far. If you find Galatians, you haven't gone far enough. It's kind of in between just a little sixth chapter book, the book of Ephesians. And if you can't find it real quick, I'll just go ahead and read what I'm going to read here anyways. Well, I lost my place here now. Ephesians, here we go. Okay. Chapter 5. Here we go. Chapter 5, verses 3 to 5. Let's talk about some other things that can happen. Some other words, hurtful words that can come out of our mouth that we need to be careful of. Starting in chapter 5, verse 3. But among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. I'm just going to stop there. I'm going to read the next two verses, but I need to stop there and say this. We are God's holy people. We have been chosen by God. We are Christians. We are have been branded His children. And because of that, we need to be careful what we say. Just like the Ephesians, Paul was writing this to the church at Ephesus, those who were saved. We in here are saved, and we are going to, it's as if he's writing this to us. Verse 4. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man as an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. We're going to stop right there. Three things he talks about there. Three ways of talking: obscenities, foolish talk, and coarse joking. Okay, well, the foolish talk we kind of talked about first when we talked about the Proverbs. Let's talk about obscenities for a second. Obscenities. You hear them all the time on television now, don't you? Isn't it sad? Isn't it sad that what you hear on TV were words that would have never been said on TV? How many of you in here remember the Dick Van Dyke Show? Remember the Dick Van Dyke Show with Rob and Laura? I remember the first time, and they were treading on thin ice, they used the word pregnant. Laura was pregnant. She was going to have Richie. Remember the son that they ended up having? You know, they have the son, and the next episode, he's like 5 years old already. You know, you kind of wonder what happened. But they used the word pregnant, and it was like, you can't use that word on television. Do you hear the words that they use on television now? Obscenities. You know all the words, and I'm not going to say them here. This is not the place for them. But do obscenities come out of our mouths? And if so, what do unbelievers think of us when they hear that? If that's a Christian, is that person really a Christ follower? Listen to the way they talk. Now, I'm going to share two stories with you today. Two story times with Brother Mike. How about that? How about that? The first story goes like this. I was a recent Christian convert, and I still had a potty mouth, okay? Some things that takes the Holy Spirit a while to work on, you know, to kind of get you over. And this had not been tamed yet. And I was at work, and I was talking to this new brother in Christ. Actually, I was the new brother in Christ. He was a veteran. And he come up and he told me this story. He said, Mike, my brother tells me that he's a Christian. But you know what? From the way he talks and the obscenities that come out of his mouth, I really have to wonder why. And that's all it took for me to say, what's coming out of my mouth? If this man questions his brother's Christianity because of the way he talks, and remember, the way we talk is what's in our heart. What's in our heart is our treasure. Then what's coming out of Mike's mouth? What am I saying? And from that day on, it was the day that the Holy Spirit convicted me. Mike, you can't be talking like this anymore. You are a new creature. Remember, the old has gone and the new has come. And Mike, there are just some things you can't do anymore. And that was the lesson that I learned in the day the Holy Spirit convicted me of this mouth right here and the obscenities that come out of it. Obscenities, we need to be careful about that. How about this one? We talked about foolish talk. The third one it says here, coarse joking. Coarse joking. Yes, absolutely. That's exactly what it is. If someone comes up to you, and of course joking is probably more of a guy thing than what it is a girl thing, okay? But we can all be responsible for it and fall victim to it. But I think guys are more receptive to coarse joking than what girls are. But I'll tell all of you this. If someone comes up to you and says, three guys walk into a bar, walk away, okay? Because you probably know what's going to come up after that initial line. If somebody says, three guys walk into a bar, that is not a good way to initiate a Christian conversation. Likewise, you shouldn't go up to somebody else and say, hey, Gail, three guys walk into a bar. What should she do? If someone come up to you and start, and the joke you know is going to have a bad Christian flavor, how do you just walk away from that? How do you walk away without offending that person? Obviously, that person is either a family member or a friend. A stranger isn't going to come up to you and say, hey, three guys walk into a bar. Okay? It's going to be somebody that you know. How do you tell that person graciously, I'd rather not be engaged in these kinds of jokes? I'll leave that answer up to you. But I can assure you this, we should not be part of coarse joking. Why? Because the Bible tells us we shouldn't be part of coarse joking. Moving on, recap, what have we got so far? We have foolish talk, should not come out of our mouth. God's name in vain in any way should not come out of our mouth. Obscenities, you know what the words are, should not come out of our mouth. Coarse joking should not come out of our mouth. What's the next thing? Just stay exactly where you're at. Ephesians chapter 5, actually we're going to read the next two verses, verses 6 and 7. Let no one deceive you. That's the key word. Let no one deceive you with empty words. Empty words that deceive. For because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. So what I'm looking at here is this. Empty words that are words of deceit. Now, deceit can be lies, and we're going to talk about lies here in a second. But I believe deceit has its own place in God's Word. For instance, if I was to say this, if I was to come in here and stand up here in front of you, especially like on the first week you invited me here or shortly afterwards, and I said this, Jesus Christ isn't the only way to heaven. There's many different ways to heaven. Just follow your own faith. Follow your own heart. What should you do with a person who said that to you? You should take me by the collar and drag me out of this place. That is deceitful teaching. That is not true, by the way. If anybody's in here saying, amen, brother, I agree with you, you and I need to talk, okay? Jesus Christ is the only way. That is deceitful talk. But here's, when I think of deceit, I really think of the church. And I think of all the churches around that there are people who are standing up here who are telling people like you wrong things. And here's the thing. Like sheep, they were led to slaughter. And there's going to be a lot of people who maybe not, who don't have that discerning heart or that discerning mind to say, wait a second. Is what he told us true? I know I told you this like the first or second week I was here. I encourage you to test the things that I teach and preach from up here, to test that what I'm saying is what God's Word says. I encourage you to do that. And call me on it anytime you think, Mike, I think that wasn't right. Deceitful talk. How many people are getting led down a path of destruction because the man who is standing up here in this pulpit is preaching the wrong stuff? It's happening in churches all over the world, in America, in Nelson County. I guarantee you there's a church in Nelson County somewhere where somebody's standing up here right now preaching to people like you and teaching them stuff that is not true. deceit, deceitful talk. And what does it say? God's wrath will come on those who are disobedient. I'll let God judge those people. Deceitful talk. Let's move on to the next one. So we got foolish talk, God's name in vain, obscenities, coarse joking, deceitful talk. And we're almost finished here, folks. Let's go to Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, the very first book of the New Testament. And let's see what else, what other kinds of words should not come out of our mouths. Matthew chapter 15. And actually, I have starting in verse 19, but I'm going to start at verse 16 because I think it helps make the passage make a lot more sense. Chapter 16, this is Jesus talking. He says this, "Are you still so dull?" Jesus asked them. "Don't you see that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and then comes out of the body? But the things that come out of the mouth come from the heart, and these make a man unclean. And here's where we start. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. These are what make a man unclean, but eating with unwashed hands does not make him unclean." Now, out of those things that he's talking about there in verse 19, I'm not so concerned about the evil thoughts. That's a sermon for another day. Murder, adultery, another day. Sexual immorality, another sermon. Theft, another sermon. But the next two. False testimony and slander. False testimony and slander. Those are the two that I'm going to talk about briefly here this morning. False testimony, you're telling lies. You tell lies. Now you say, well, Mike, how is deceitful talk different than telling lies? Well, this is kind of my definition and how I distinguish between the two. Deceitful talk to me, like I said, I kind of use that in a church situation where the preacher's preaching the wrong thing and deceiving the people in front of him. Lies are just that. Lies are just lies. You know, if I was to say this, I'm going to say this. Did you know that when I was 12 years old, I won the state of Pennsylvania spelling bee competition? I didn't. But why do people tell lies? Maybe to make themselves look better than the other person? Telling lies? I didn't win no state competition. I didn't even qualify for the state competition. I didn't even beat out the kids in my own class for the spelling bee competition. But I could go around telling people that, and if I didn't say that that was a lie, you would believe me, wouldn't you? If Gail would not have laughed, you would have believed that I was, when I was 12 years old, back in 1965, that I would have been the state of Pennsylvania spelling bee champion. And you would have believed me. Why do people tell lies? So why would I have done that? In this case, for one reason, just to make myself look better. Look better than whatever. So why do we tell lies? Well, we shouldn't do it. Jesus says false testimony, we should not give false testimony. The next one he talks about here is slander. You know, I've heard that word used before, but I didn't know exactly how to define it. So where do I go? Webster's Dictionary. Webster's Dictionary defines slander as this: the utterance of false charges or misrepresentations which defame and damage another's reputation. The utterance of false charges or misrepresentations which defame and damage another's reputation. Ooh. Boy, doesn't this thing have a lot of power? Doesn't this thing have a lot of power? Boy. But the definition of slander is false charges. Now, I'm not going to put anyone on the spot here. I'm just going to make up a fictitious person. Let's say John Doe goes to this church, and we all know John Doe very well. Wouldn't it be sad if I or somebody else in the church said, you know, John Doe's having an affair with Susie Smith. Could you realize what that could do to John Doe if that's not true? Just made it up. Just made it up. It's false charges. John Doe wasn't having an affair with Susie Smith. But what could that do? It could defame and damage another John Doe's reputation. Just because I want to say what I want to say. And sometimes Christians do that. We make up things to purposely damage somebody else's character. Shame on us for doing that. We should not do that. You know, you ever hear the statement, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me? Names do hurt us. When people talk about that, that does hurt. Sometimes I'd rather them beat on me with sticks and stones than say stuff about me. False charges. So, what have we got so far? We have foolish talk. We have God's name in vain. We have obscenities. We have coarse joking. We have deceitful talk. We have false testimony. We have slander. And we have one more, one last one. Let's go back to Proverbs in the Old Testament and talk about the last thing that can come out of our mouths that could be very damaging or hurtful in some way or another, either to other people. Proverbs 16, and you probably know where I'm going with this because it's a pretty important one, and we haven't talked about it, and I thought that I would end up with this one. Chapter 16, verse 28. A perverse man stirs up dissension, and a gossip separates close friends. Gossip. Gossip. Did you have to bring up that word? Gossip. Did you have to bring up that word, Mike? You know, we're taking a vote on you next week. Maybe you should have done the helpful words this week. Gossip. What's the definition of a gossip? Webster's Dictionary. A person who habitually, it's funny that they would put that word in there, a person who habitually reveals personal or sensational facts about others. Who habitually reveals personal or sensational facts about others. Now, how is gossip and slander different? Well, slander is stuff that's made up. Gossip could be things that are true, but should be kept to yourself. If you know some stuff, just keep it to yourself. Because when you start talking about this person, or talking about that person, or talking about this person, that ends up to be gossip. And we shouldn't do that. My brothers and sisters, this ought not be. We should zip up our lip. We should not be gossiping. Gossip can tear apart homes. No, let me rephrase that. Gossip will tear apart homes. Gossip will tear apart marriages. Gossip will tear apart relationships. Gossip will tear apart businesses. And lastly, gossip will tear apart churches. A person who habitually reveals personal and sensational facts about others. Let's go back to John Doe for a second. Okay? Let's say John Doe is having an affair with Susie Smith. Just two names I made up. That doesn't give me the privilege or the right to go and blab that to every person that I see. What is it about gossip that makes us feel good? Is it the fact that we know something juicy that somebody else doesn't know? But we do it. I'm not going to stand here and say I am not guilty of gossip. I am guilty. Not often, but I am guilty. And I realized, you know, when I was preparing this, I thought, you know what, Mike? You just need to zip up and you need to quit gossiping yourself. If you're going to preach it, you better live it. Which leads me to my second story. And last night as I was reviewing my notes, I thought, I don't know if I should tell this story or not, because this story might be gossip. Gail, you know the story I told you. Is it okay? Or would I, go and help me out here. If it benefits the teaching, there's the caveat. If it benefits the teaching, then it's not gossip. Okay, well, I'm not going to mention any names, and you don't know this person, but it's story time again. It's a story time with Brother Mike. It goes like this. I work at McClung in Waynesboro. I have one customer that I serve. It's a company out of Harrisonburg, and I'm not going to mention any other names beyond this point. That company in Harrisonburg has about 10 people that work for them, 10 salespeople, one of which I know very well. I used to work with this person many years ago. I got an email from this person, and it was one of those emails that had a PowerPoint presentation attached to it. And so I played it, and the PowerPoint presentation was about God. And actually, it was a very, very nice presentation. Whoever did it really done it upright. But I noticed, you know, you can look to see who it was forwarded to, and eventually it was forwarded to me. And I noticed that it was forwarded from one of the other people that worked in this company. So I was just a little curious. And I sent an email back to this person, and I asked the simple question, who do you think is a Christian that you work with? I think that's a fair question. Do you work with any other Christians? Or the other salespeople, are they Christians? Now, you have the right to put me on the spot right now. Is that a fair question to ask? I think it's okay. Who do you think's a Christian? That's the simple question I asked. Who do you think is a Christian? I got an email the next day. This person answered my email from this person's home email account because she didn't want to write it. I was trying to stay away from that. Because she didn't want to write it through her email at work. And she mentioned every person that worked in that place, and there was total character assassination on every person. Every person, I got the lowdown scoop on everything about them. Everything about them. The good, the bad, and the ugly. And I just asked one simple question. Who do you think's a Christian? Greg? Is this gossip? Right, it's certainly not going to go any further than me. As a matter of fact, I deleted the email. I said, I can't, you know, I should have quit reading it halfway through. Shame on me for reading it all the way through. Okay, all right, slap my hand. Okay, you know, we're all guilty here. I wanted to know a simple answer to a simple question. She could have said, no one. She could have said, me and such and such. That would have been okay. Just to get an idea who she thought was a Christian. A simple question, requiring a simple answer. But I didn't get a simple answer. I got the scoop. Like I said, I got the good, I got the bad, and I got the ugly. And I got that email off my system because I figured I don't want people knowing that this thing is on my system with all these words on here. Gossip. gossip. Now I know more than what I should know. Isn't it nice sometimes? Let me phrase it this way. Haven't you said to yourself sometimes, I wish I didn't know that. I wish I didn't know that. And now I know more than I really want to know about 10 people that work at this company, and I wish I didn't know any of it. I wish I didn't know any of it. Because now I could be in a position of being judgmental. It's right. So, Greg, maybe I shouldn't have asked the question at all. Maybe I shouldn't have. So, I've learned a lot of good lessons with story time with Brother Mike. And it's even my story, and I'm the one that's learning the lesson from him. Maybe you have learned a lesson here too. Don't ask. Then they won't tell. What is the old saying? Ask me no questions, I tell you no lies, right? Or I tell you no truths, and I don't want to know that too. Gossip. It could hurt. It could hurt homes, marriages, relationships, businesses, churches. So let's do a quick recap. So what are the things that we need to be careful of that comes out of this mouth is this. Foolish talk, using God's name in vain, obscenities, coarse joking, deceitful talk, false testimonies or lies, slander, gossip. Boy, just that in itself is a mouthful, isn't it? Boy, if we can not do all that, we'll be doing pretty good. Now, comes to the part of the message that I promised last week. I said, I'm going to challenge you. Didn't I say that? I said, I'm going to challenge this congregation. And here's what I'm going to challenge you on. Let me say what I'm going to say first, and then we'll get into part two. The challenge is this. What if I said, okay, to all of us here, including me, who here really needs to do some work with cleaning up their mouth, their tongue? And what if I was to say, I need you to come forward and we're all going to kneel here and we're going to pray for each other? Two things. Who would have the guts to say, I need some help because you know what, my tongue isn't the best thing in the world and I need to be up there? Second part of that is this. Who would be the person still sitting there saying, I knew they'd go up there. I knew it. I knew it. I knew they'd go up there. Isn't church a place where we heal? Isn't church a place where we grow spiritually? Isn't church a place where we come to be transformed? We come to worship God. Yes, we come here to be transformed by this, by God's word. So I'm going to throw the challenge out. I'm going to move this aside. And you know what? If I need help with something one of these weeks, and maybe it's today that you're going to see me kneeling down there, but I'm going to challenge you right now, and I'm going to ask you, if you need help with this, come on forward. We can stand, we can kneel, we can gather together, and I'm going to pray for all of us who are going to be up here. And I'll tell you this, I'm here first.